Greetings, and welcome to worship with Weston United Methodist Church. My name is Nick Deitman, and I serve on the hospitality team. It is a joy to have you worship with us today. We invite you to fully participate. You will find worship materials in the description section of our live feed. As we prepare our hearts and minds to worship, we invite you to light a candle as a sign of Christ's presence with you today. May God be with you as we enter this holy time together.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a good day to be together and to join our hearts together in worship. If you are worshiping outside of the Nashville area this morning, I hope perhaps you're a little bit warmer than we are. It's cold out there, and there's some ice on the road, so everyone, please be careful. It's my joy to welcome all of you to this time of worship, and I would invite you to let us know that you're worshiping with us by registering your attendance. There's a link that you can place in your browser. Hopefully you're seeing that up on your screen even as I speak, and that will take you right to the registration form and give you an opportunity also to share any prayer concerns you might have with us. I have a few announcements as we gather today, as we move into the season of Lent in the middle of this week. We have lots of opportunities for worship ahead. Today, from noon until 2 in the parking lot, we invite you to come by if you have registered for your cinnamon rolls and sausage packet for Jazz Mass, to come and pick those up between 12 and 2 today. Included in that will also be ashes for you to use during our Ash Wednesday live stream service. We have lots of ashes available, so even if you didn't register for the cinnamon rolls and sausage, you can come through and pick up some ashes that will be called upon to use during our Ash Wednesday service. On Tuesday, our Jazz Mass will be live streamed starting at 7 p.m. We'll be using some footage from last year so we can see, hear the music and the jazz ensemble and the singing. And then our own youth intern, Christopher Harris, will be preaching a sermon from this season, 2021, and you want to make sure and hear him. And then on Wednesday, which is Ash Wednesday, the beginning of Lent, our live stream service will be at noon with Reverend Maggie Jarrell preaching, and we invite you to participate with us then. It will also be available throughout the day if it works better for you and for those in your household to worship later that evening. On Thursday, we'll have our first of three Lenten concerts. It will live stream at noon, and we hope you'll join us at that time for a little break in your day, a little time for sacred music, prayer, and contemplation. And then finally, next Sunday, we are opening the sanctuary for in-person worship at 8:45, and we're excited to welcome folks back into the space, into the pews. We do ask that you RSVP, and that link is already up and active, so we encourage you to sign up and to be with us in worship on Sunday at 8:45. We'll be worshiping in person at 8:45 throughout the season of Lent, and then hopefully moving forward to even further opening. This is Transfiguration Sunday. Traditionally, the last Sunday before Lent begins is the Sunday when the Christian church hears the story of Jesus going up the mountain of Transfiguration. So let us open ourselves to the mystery and glory of this story as we worship together this day.
Oh. who follow Jesus hear his voice, calling us to be apart for a little while.
We will listen and follow, opening ourselves to new visions.
May our hearts expand to God's bright glory. Let us worship the Son of God this day.
Let us worship Christ, the Lord.
Let us come now before God with our confessions, believing that all we are, that all we hold, and are seen and held within God's unconditional love for us. Radiant God, source of light, you surround Jesus with your glory. And you come to guard us in profound brightness. You catch us off guard and expose our weakness. We choose the limelight while you call us to explore the shadows and brighten the darkness. We seek the spectacular while you bind up the broken in countless acts of mercy. We seek to stay on the mountain in comfort while you walk to the valleys of need. Radiant God, fill us with light and courage to carry good news into all corners of the world and to bring back the joy of your presence. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
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 The peace of
together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you have to say to us today. Amen. Lesson from the Gospel, Mark chapter 9, 2-9. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And they appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who was talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud came a voice. "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down from the mountain, he ordered to tell no one about what they had seen after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Now I'd like to invite all the children to come a little bit closer to your screens and share a special moment with me. I always look forward to this moment together with you. You know, when it comes to my faith in God, there are a lot of things that I think I know. I know that God is love. I know that God loves me. And I know that God loves you and loves every person walking on this planet. I know that God created the world and all the animals and all the planets and stars. I know that God wants me to love my neighbor and take care of the earth. So there are a lot of things that I know, but there are a lot of things that I don't know. I have a lot of questions, and sometimes it's fun for me to write out some of my questions and make a list. When the time comes that I get to go to heaven, I'm going to ask God all of these questions, like, why did God make mosquitoes? What purpose do mosquitoes serve? So something as simple as that. Or why are there hurricanes and bad storms in the world? Or maybe something like, who wrote the Book of Chronicles? That's one of those books in the Old Testament. All sorts of questions that I have, and that I think all of us have about God and what it all means. And you know what's really important? It's okay to say, I don't know. It's really good to have questions and to be able to ask your questions. So whether you're in Sunday school, when that day comes that you can come back to Sunday school, or you're talking with one of your parents, if you've got a question about God or about Jesus or about church, we want you to ask your questions. There's no question that you cannot ask. And, you know, as the grown-ups, we might say, you know, I don't know. And that's okay. Because what we really do know underneath everything is that God loves us. And that's enough. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for giving us brains and intellect, for curiosity that makes us want to ask questions and learn things and know things. Thank you so much for the good questions that children ask, especially. And thank you for reminding us that we don't always have to know the answers. There may not be easy answers to lots of our questions, but you still want us to ask and be curious and to seek and to search and to know above all that you love us no matter what. And there's no question in the world we could ask that would make you stop loving us. Thank you so much. It makes us feel loved and safe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Sometime last year, at least I think it was last year, I've totally lost track of time. It was sometime before last March 15th. A member of the church gave me the book, The Universal Christ by Father Richard Rohr. Her Sunday school class was going to be reading the book together, and she wanted me to have a copy as well. And I was really grateful for it because through it, I also discovered a podcast that goes along with it. And so I could drive to work listening to the voice of Father Richard Rohr talking about deep questions and theology. Of course, I didn't actually get around to reading the book until this week. I don't know about you, but that's just how it happens. You know, I make a have a stack of books that I want to read. I'm committed to reading them, and it just takes me some time to get to them and get through them. But I was so grateful to open this book on this week leading up to Transfiguration Sunday. Because on the opening pages of Richard Rohr's book, he tells a story that was told by an English mystic from the 20th century, Carol Houselander. She talks about an experience she had riding in the London Underground one day. She was on that subway train, which was crowded with people of all different kinds of faces and expressions. And suddenly, she had a vision. She saw in each one of those people the glory and light of Christ shining through them. Each and every one of them was radiant with the light of Christ. And she described how that effect lasted for days, where she had gotten to see the great oneness of all creation, the deep connection that we all have with one another, that we are at all times bathing in the love of God and the light of Christ, and most of the time we don't even know it. I had a similar experience in my own life. I actually shared it with you a couple of years ago on Transfiguration Sunday, but it's an experience I go back to again and again in my spiritual journey, and so I'm going to share it with you again. It wasn't as dramatic as Carol Houselander's experience, and it didn't last for days. It only lasted for a few moments. But I was sitting at a big table at a meeting of the Board of Ordained Ministry, which Pastor Aaron serves on right now. At the time, it was made up of 35, 40 clergy and laity from the Tennessee Conference, going through all the files of all the people who are going through the ordination process. And in some ways, it's a great experience in the institutional side of the church. Like one big committee meeting that lasts for days. But I was sitting there, and I looked up, and all of a sudden, every single person sitting around that table was radiant and beautiful. And it was like for just a few moments, I could see all of us as God sees us, bathed in God's love, shining with the light of Christ, beautiful and worthy and accepted just as we were, connected in a bond we could never break between one another. And then it was gone. What do we do with experiences like that? I think Carol Houselander's experience put her life on a different trajectory. It shaped so much of what she did and who she became after that. In my experience, I held on to it and allowed it to shape how I saw people for a little while, but eventually it sort of got put on the shelf. And I got bogged back down into the institutional stuff, the day-to-day stuff of doing the church. This Sunday, we celebrate the story of Jesus' transfiguration. And we're invited to climb up that mountain with him and experience what happened on that day. And I want to invite us into that story through the experience of Simon Peter. I want us to climb up that mountain in Peter's shoes. And in order to do that, I think we need to know a little bit about where Peter has been in the days leading up to this moment. Jesus had taken his disciples up to the region of Caesarea Philippi. And along the way, he'd been asking them, "Who do you say that I am? How are you understanding who I am and what my ministry is all about?" And it's Peter who steps up boldly and says to Jesus, "You are the Christ." He says out loud what he believes. He makes a bold profession of faith, and he gets it right. But then right away, Jesus begins to talk about how he's going to live that role out. He's going to go to Jerusalem, and he will be rejected by the religious leaders, the elders, the rulers of the temple, and they will put him to death. 3 days later, he will rise again. But Peter didn't seem to hear that part. He heard the part about Jesus being rejected by the institution, Jesus suffering, Jesus being put to death, and so he pulled Jesus aside and rebuked him. Mark doesn't tell us exactly what that rebuke sounded like, but I imagine Peter was saying to Jesus, No, you are the Messiah, the Christ. This is not the path as it's supposed to be. I imagine Peter trying to control Jesus, trying to manage Jesus' ministry and make it more in line with what Peter wants. But Jesus very quickly rebuked Peter. And then a few days later, Jesus decides to take Peter and James and John with him. I guess Peter is back in Jesus' good graces. And the four of them climb this mountain. It was something Jesus did regularly, going off to pray. So I don't know exactly what Peter was thinking as they were trudging up the mountain. But once they got to the top of the mountain, Jesus was suddenly transfigured. His face, his appearance changed. And Mark describes how his clothing was shining like no bleach on earth could ever cause it to do. The very light of his divinity was glowing through him. They could see his godness in the beauty of that vision. Suddenly, the ordinariness of the world was stripped away, and they could see the light and the glory and the connection of all things surrounding them. They could see that Jesus was indeed the Christ in this holy revelation. Suddenly, Elijah and Moses were there talking with Jesus. It just got better and more extraordinary. And then there's a cloud that envelops them, this cloud of unknowing, this cloud of mystery. And so we have this divine revelation being given to these three disciples. But what is Peter doing? In the midst of all of this wonder and glory and mystery, Peter's trying to nail it down. He's trying once again to manage it and control it and get a handle on things. He says, Lord, it's great for us. It's good for us to be here. Let's build three shelters, one for you, one for Elijah, one for Moses, and we'll put this experience into three containers. And that way we'll own it. We'll have some control over it. And we could just stay up here and not worry about what else is going on in the world. Jesus doesn't even respond to what Peter says. And Mark makes it clear that Peter just says it because he's so frightened he doesn't know what to do with this ineffable experience. But he gets no rebuke, no response. It's just the cloud that comes and envelops them. And then a voice that says, "This is my son. Listen to him." It's as if God is inviting Peter to just shush, stop talking, stop trying to control and manage and contain and regulate. Just be present and listen and receive. And when the experience is over and they're making their way back down the mountain, Jesus says, don't talk about this for a while. Don't try to put it into words. Don't go telling everybody yet. Don't go posting it on Facebook and Instagram, and just let it sit. Let it live in you. And as time unfolds, it will begin to make more sense. And it will nourish your ministry now and in the years to come and for the rest of your life. Hold on to this glimpse of glory that you've been given and let it live in you. I don't know about you, but I can totally identify with Peter in this story. That urge that I have, whenever I have a spiritual experience, to want to talk about it, to want to write my Monday meditation about it, to want to put it in a sermon, to want to make meaning out of it, put a big bow on it, put it in a box. It's so hard to just let it be what it is. And let it be beyond language and beyond containing. I think this is something we do in the institution of the church. Several years ago, I was on a retreat with a group of pastors, and Eugene Peterson, who's a writer and a pastor and a contemplative. We were all United Methodists, except for Eugene Peterson, and we were talking about some of our frustrations with the institution and the top-heaviness of it and all of the ins and outs. And if you've been on the Board of Ordained Ministry, you know all of the ins and outs of the Book of Discipline and all these rules that we have. And Eugene Peterson said, you know, the church in some ways is like a tree. There's a lot that's like the bark, big, thick bark that's not really the living part, but it is the part that's the container for the living sap that's constantly flowing through the tree. What if we thought of the church as not the complete revelation of God, that we don't have all the answers, we haven't figured out the best way to do this or that, or have a list of things we can check off to know that we're right, but that more than anything else, we are a space where the divine can be experienced. The Apostle Paul said in his letter to the Corinthians, we are stewards of the mysteries. We spend so much time in our denomination, in the church universal, with institutional things, trying to get our social principles right and arguing back and forth about who's in and who's out and who's worthy and who's not and what's our... When sometimes we lose sight of the mystery that cannot be put into words. Father Richard Rohr, in this book, so much of it that I've read so far, offers the suggestion that perhaps what our world right now needs more than anything is Christians who are contemplatives, Christians who are willing to hold space for mystery, and who can stand in the door and welcome people in and say, "Welcome to the mystery." My friends, we have a space here on West End Avenue that offers itself for just that purpose. How might God call us to offer this sanctuary, this holy space, to our community? This is a place with open doors. We don't close our doors. We don't say that these windows and these walls hold in secrets of knowledge that only we know, that this place is only for the insiders who have everything figured out and who have everything right. No, this is an open space with open doors, and the mystery of the Holy Spirit flows in and out of this place, bringing us in and helping us experience the deep, abiding love of God. We come in with questions and we leave with questions, but we leave changed because we have been in the mystery. I don't know that I've expressed my thoughts very clearly this morning in this sermon, but maybe that's okay. Maybe that's the point. There are some things that cannot be explained, but only experienced and believed. Amen.
Would you rise in body or in spirit and join me as we affirm our faith together with the Nicene Creed? We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated if you are standing. As we come to our prayer time this morning, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you would like to share them with the pastoral team, you may do so by following the link in the chat or under the Contact Us section of our website. You may also post public prayer requests in the chat, but recognize that those are not confidential. Confidential ones can be submitted through our website. This morning, we remember Elizabeth Beth Henderson Wheeler, who passed away on February the 5th. A memorial service will be held at a later date. Among her survivors is her husband, Dr. Arvel Wheeler, and we remember him in our prayers this morning. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Holy God, there are times when you feel as close as our breath and as familiar as a dear friend. And there are also times when we are astonished by your glory and bewildered by the mystery of who you are. In those moments, O Christ, remind us that we are not called to know everything or possess everything, but we are simply called to listen for your voice and to trust in you. We pause this morning to remember your people throughout the world who need an extra measure of your comfort and grace this day. Be near, O God, to those who are sick, to those who are grieving, to those who are lonely, to those who are struggling in body, mind, or spirit. Draw close to those who are without homes, especially in this cold season, to those who are in prison, to those who suffer violence. May each of these encounter your healing power, not only through the work of your Holy Spirit, but also through the words and actions of your people. We recognize, loving God, that sometimes you call us to discomfort for the sake of others. So direct our paths. Give us courage and strength. May we work with you to be sources of healing and wholeness in our world. And by your Spirit, in that care for others, may we also experience the healing that we seek. We ask all of this in the holy name of Jesus, the one who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We invite you now to give your tithes and offerings so that our congregation can continue our vital ministries in our community and throughout the world. You can give through our website, or you can text to give. You can also mail in a check. We realize that many are suffering economically right now, and we encourage you to give as you are able. We know that God can multiply any gift that we give for God's glory and for the benefit of God's kingdom. So let us give with joy this morning. It is our joy this morning to welcome new members into our congregation. I invite you now to watch this video where we introduce these new members and where they make their membership vows.
I'd like to introduce you to Carl and Grace O. Carl is a retina specialist with Tennessee Retina, and Grace is a retired lawyer and community volunteer. They have three adult children, Robert, Caroline, and Katie. This is Beau and Caroline Creason. They have a son named Cooper who just turned one. Beau is a partner at K&L Gates Law Firm, and Caroline is senior counsel at Bridgestone Americas Incorporated. This is Fletcher Foster. Fletcher is the president and CEO of F2 Entertainment Group. This is Marley Lawhorn. Marley is married to Jim, and they have two children, Charlotte, who is 22 months old, and Caroline, who was just born this past Tuesday. Marley is a healthcare consultant with ROI Healthcare Solutions. She's transferring from Brookwood Baptist Church in Mountain Brook, Alabama. This is Laura Terry. Laura is expecting a baby girl in the next couple of weeks. She's the senior manager of cyber and data risk with McKinsey & Company. She's transferring from Church Street United Methodist Church in Knoxville, Tennessee. And last but not least, this is Derek and LaDonna Weber. Derek is a United Methodist elder, and he's serving as the director of preaching ministries at Discipleship Ministries. LaDonna is a librarian at Skerritt Bennett Center, and she also teaches online for Midwest Collaborative Library Services. Because Derek is clergy, he's not joining the church, but LaDonna is joining as an associate member, which means that she'll also retain her membership in her home church of Roberts Park United Methodist Church in Indianapolis, Indiana. Caroline, Beau, Fletcher, Marley, Grace, and Carl. As members of Christ Universal Church, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If so, say, I will.
I will. I will.
And for all of you, as members of the body of Christ in this congregation, called to be the loving light of Christ in the world, will you faithfully serve Christ in this place through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say, I will.
I will.
Would the congregation please rise in body or in spirit and join me in welcoming our newest members? Family of God, these persons are now entrusted to your love and your care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. And now may the God of all grace strengthen you by the connecting and transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that together we might be the loving light of Christ in the world. Amen.
Thank you.
as the disciples made their way back down the mountain with Jesus, we leave this time of mystery and glory and worship with Jesus the Christ by our side. And through him, we have joy and peace and light to share with the world. Amen.